Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Monday, December 27th, 2021. I pray everyone had a wonderful, family-centered, Christ-centered Christmas, and that it was a great celebration. However, my Christmas was a little bit different this year. It was a difficult, sad, emotional Christmas. My mother-in-law passed. It had been a long 2 weeks since she was ill. And when we thought maybe that she was improving and turning the corner, medically speaking, everything took a turn for the worst, and the hospital called us saying that her organs were beginning to fail, and she was in kidney failure or renal failure. We knew at that time that this was going to be a difficult decision because she was hooked to a ventilator and a breathing tube to keep from breathing. Her heart was failing. Her body was tired. She was no longer able to put up the fight. And so on Christmas Day, this past Saturday, in accordance with her wishes in a written living will, we had the breathing tube removed. And it was just a matter of 20 or 30 minutes till our mother-in-law transitioned from this world into the presence of Jesus in heaven. So it was a very difficult and emotional Christmas. But as I thought about it, and as we reflected on it, Christmas Day is an occasion for celebration, the birth of Jesus, God himself stepping down from his royal throne in heaven and coming to earth, born in a manger, taking on human flesh for our salvation. So as I begin to reflect on it, I thought, what a wonderful homecoming that our mother-in-law is going to spend her first Christmas in heaven. But let me ask you a question. When you're faced with a situation like we were, when you're staring death in the face, when your loved one is standing at the threshold from physical life to spiritual life at death's doorstep, how does one prepare for that? Well, in our case, we had a living will. We had to abide by their wishes that was written many, many years previous, that in the case of their extreme situation, this was what they requested. And so as we reflect on that, what do you do? How do you face the greatest enemy of mankind? Well, the only true hopeful way to face death is from the very words of Jesus, who declared, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall he live. We face death in the only means available, the only hope available, and that is Christ. Why? Because Jesus is a living Savior. His bones are not in a grave somewhere in Jerusalem. 3 days after his violent crucifixion, he arose from the dead, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And so, unlike any other religious leader who was still dead and in the grave, Jesus arose as our living Savior. And so, we face death by trusting in him, by putting our confidence and hope in him, by being born again, by trusting in what he has done for us, paying for every one of our sins at the cross. So I want to take some time this morning, as I share this very personal story with you, to talk to you about how to have hope in the face of death. All of us face the inevitable reality of death one day. It is a subject, well, we prefer not to talk about and instead continue to make plans and pursue our dreams. We don't think about it maybe enough, but with the COVID crisis going on now 2 years, death is staring us in the face. So I guess we're talking a little bit more about it than we usually do. It's unavoidable, the reality of death. Death is all around us. Our lives are rudely interrupted every day by the tragic news, maybe of a best friend killed in a car wreck or a next-door neighbor facing terminal cancer. The headline news on the internet is filled with murders, violence, COVID, stories of incredible suffering and evil. The lives of people are shattered by this painful reality every day. I know, we just encountered it past weekend. It's a reality that won't go away. But are there answers that can give us hope in the face of death? Well, yes, there are. Nearly 2,000 years ago, words of hope were spoken to a young Jewish woman named Martha and her sister Mary. Their brother Lazarus had suddenly died, and their lives were filled with grief and mourning until Jesus arrives on the scene. Jesus gave Martha words of hope that literally shattered the darkness and reality of death. Jesus proclaimed, quote, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Well, that's an incredible declaration that looks death in the face and says, I have the final word. Jesus wasn't just trying to encourage Martha with a pep talk to soothe her hurts and pains. No, not at all. Right before the eyes of Martha and Mary and many others gathered in the village of Bethany, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Still wrapped in his grave clothes, Lazarus emerged from the tomb to the utter astonishment of Mary and Martha. Death and decay were powerless against the command of Jesus, and Lazarus was living proof that Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be, the resurrection and the life. Remember, he had been in the tomb now going on 4 days. And Martha and Mary said, if you would have been here, Jesus, he wouldn't have died. And sometimes we say that, Lord, if you would have done this, our friend, our loved one wouldn't have died. But Jesus delayed his coming for a very specific reason. He knew Lazarus was sick, and he knew he would die. He even wept at his tomb because of the violence that sin does to our body and soul. But then, this was his purpose. He wanted to raise Lazarus from the dead in the faces of those gathered to demonstrate his deity, his power over death. So he let him die for a purpose. And Lazarus came forth, bound in his grave clothes. Jesus demanded those clothes be removed. And he was raised to life. He would die again, like we all do. But Jesus, because he loved Lazarus and he had a mission to demonstrate his power over sickness, death, disease, and the devil, he delayed his coming for a reason. So once we question God, we need to understand that there is a purpose for the delay to the answers of our prayers, to the cries of our heart. And I love it that death and decay were powerless against the command of Jesus. Millions of followers of Jesus courageously risk their lives every day, refusing to recant their faith. We see this in the persecuted church all over the world, in Iran, in Iraq, in Saudi Arabia, even in Turkey and Egypt and North Korea. Why do they risk their lives preaching the gospel? Because they know they have a promise that if they are killed, if they are martyred for their faith, they go to be with Jesus immediately. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That means immediately. That means the moment that my mother-in-law, the moment that she stopped breathing, the moment that her heart stopped, she was in the glorious presence of God. That is a fact. For all those who trust in Jesus, heaven is a reality. But for those who refuse, for whatever reason, for those whose stubborn heart says, no, I believe this, or I will do it my way, then the very opposite is true. The very ugly reality of hell awaits that person who is exercising their freedom to choose. But there are consequences to that. Because Jesus says, again, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were to die, yet shall he live. So again, millions of followers of Jesus courageously risk their lives every day, refusing to recant their faith because they have the assurance that at the instant, at the moment of their death, they will stand before their living Savior, never to die again. Well, we live in a culture of fear, of hopelessness, with the certainty of death lingering really all around us. Interrupts our plans and dreams for the good life. Well, the perfect example is COVID. Since the onset of COVID, in the early phases of it, people were dying every day, thousands. And there's still a large percentage of people dying from this. So the reality of death is squarely facing us every day. It interrupts our plans and dreams. There's great fear and hopelessness among so many that seemingly that this virus will never go away, it seems. But how we face this virus is far more important. Are we willing to say, Jesus, you are Lord. I trust in you. I don't want to spend an eternity apart from you. And if I have to succumb to this virus, I want to do so with the hope that my faith and trust is firmly planted in you as the anchor. Now, so many that don't believe will instead put their hope and faith in science or the latest fad to help them prolong their lives. Science becomes the guru or the god of those that don't believe because they have so much skepticism. Oh, the resurrection couldn't have happened. Well, it was witnessed by 500 or more, 1 Corinthians 15 says. The first witnesses were women. And that's very important because in the Jewish culture at that time, the testimony of a woman was certainly not accepted. So for anyone to say that the Bible was just somehow written and invented, if you were inventing the story of Scripture, you would never include women as the first witnesses to the resurrection. Therefore, we can say with certainty, this is not a myth or a fable. It's true. This is exactly how it happened. But those that refuse to believe because they believe in science more than Scripture, they have no hope. Or they go to the latest fad. Everything is done to try to prolong the inevitable. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. However, for those of us that have placed our faith and hope in Christ, Jesus says, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and will not come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life. John 5:24. That simply means Jesus bore our sin and punishment and guilt, and we are no longer judged for those sins. They have all been washed away by the blood of Jesus, and we stand blameless before God because of the righteousness of Jesus given to us when we have faith in him, when we believe in him. So again, those who put trust in science or anything else, they have no hope. However, the incredible promise of Jesus is the only words of hope that can overcome and destroy the sinful curse of death upon the human race. In Revelation chapter 21, there's a beautiful promise that God will wipe the tears from our eyes. One day there will be no more death or sorrow or suffering or pain, because death will finally be conquered completely, and Jesus will reign with us in the millennial kingdom. There will no longer be the curse of death as a reality. Suffering and pain and sorrow and death will be completely washed away at that time. So we have a promise looking forward as we think about the future. Jesus, again, his promise is the only words of hope that can overcome and destroy the sinful curse of death upon the human race. The promises of scientific progress and the claims of diet fads, well, they're built upon a shaky foundation in comparison to the promise of Christ. You and I can confidently look death in the face like my mother-in-law did, and have real hope and assurance because she trusted in Jesus. He alone has the words of eternal life. The curse of death is forever swallowed up by the greatest words ever uttered. I am the resurrection and the life. When we had the painful duty to remove that breathing tube, we cried because the reality of death hurts. The curse of death hurts. But we also could rejoice because truly our mother-in-law no longer suffered but was in glory with Jesus. And what a reunion that is. This morning we have looked at the painful reality of the curse of death, and we have found that the solution is in Christ. I want us to celebrate now for a moment. I want us to hear a song of celebration. It's about the resurrection. This is Keith Green, an Easter song.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is risen from the dead. The angel upon the tombstone said he has risen just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciple that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he is risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, alleluia. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing.
Great worship music from Keith Green, Easter Song, originally written by Annie Herring of Second Chapter of Acts and performed by Second Chapter of Acts, but it's been performed, thousands of times since then. It's a song of great truth. It's a lively song, a song of celebration, because this is the time when we as Christians have sorrow, yes, the hurt and the pain and the suffering of death is hard, but we can celebrate. We can celebrate. That really is the beginning of our life forever. It is our graduation into eternal life. It is an unshakable hope built on a foundation, not of myths and fables and good stories to make us feel good. No, this is the truth. And that is the hard, hard, bitter truth that is so difficult for the postmodern skeptic world to understand. But I guess if we look back over these 2 years and try to understand why God allowed this virus, there's very many reasons why he permitted it. But I think one is this. He is reaching out to those people, to us as well, but I think to those people whose hearts are hardened. He's saying, this is a reality. This is death, and it's going to come quickly. And I'm reaching out with grace to call you to faith in me. As I think what Jesus is doing, he is using this virus as a wake-up call to what is inevitable. But it's grace. Understand, this is grace because he's using it to awaken us from our slumber and sleep, and to those that are postponing the most important decision of their lives. He's using it to say, I am your only hope. I am the resurrection and the life. I have lost dear friends to this horrible virus, but these dear friends that I've lost know the Savior, know the Lord, and so I can be comforted in their grief to know they're at home with Jesus. This is not some religious fantasy. It's not some myth or fable. This is reality. You and I, we are looking at this every day, and we're wondering how long we will have to endure this. And Jesus says, here's the hope you can have. You may get the virus, and you may not be healed. That's all in accordance with God's word and God's plan. But this is for sure. When you step through death's door, if you've trusted in me, Jesus is saying, you are welcomed into paradise forever. And that's what life is all about. We pass out of this sin-cursed world of death and disease, and we step into our eternal home forever and ever. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go away, but I will come again. I go away to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to receive you unto myself. John chapter 14. Today, I hope this broadcast, this emotional, this personal broadcast, will help you find your hope in healing in Jesus. I think that there is nothing more beautiful than to have this hope and have this certainty, not just when you're facing death, but to walk through life knowing that when you do face death, you will have hope because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I want to thank you so much for listening today to The Cross in the Desert. Blessings upon you. Have a great week, and I will see you next Monday on The Cross in the Desert.